Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory. With the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, what does that mean? That means they go over every vehicle inch by inch. Eases the buying experience. And a terrific service department that needs more technicians. They have a lot of business. Routine to difficult, they can handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Right out of the gate from 247 Sports. Very pleased to bring in the outstanding Mark Brennan, my longtime friend. Great to have you with us again.
It's great to be here, Steve. Thanks for having me. Day after signing day, so I get to take a deep breath and get back to work covering football.
Yeah. You were there for a long period of time watching all this happen. You've now watched this unfold over the years. What's your take on how it's done and the importance that is placed on it by the staff to the recruits as to how it's done?
Yeah, to me, Steve, the prevailing story yesterday, people want to talk about rankings, they want to talk about, stars, they want to talk about everything else, but you make a good point. The stability at Penn State, the way that they've handled things since James Franklin has been here on the recruiting front, it's been unbelievable, the lack of drama on signing day. And that's not necessarily good for our business, at Lines 247. The sites that tend to get the most traffic are the ones who are waiting for the last second commitment or a decommitment or something else. But, and then, Steve, to top it off this year, you lose both coordinators and you have to replace them after the season. And you don't have a single decommitment. And to me, that tells you what you need to know. So, yeah, we could talk about the rankings. We could talk about how Penn State has that cool war room set up. But all of that is, I don't want to say it's beside the point because it's not. The things they do on signing day are an important part of their whole process. But it's the work they do the years leading up to signing day now. I mean, Cooper Cousins is a guy who committed in 2020, I think. Yeah. So it's years and years and years of work. And people think, oh, it's signing day. Look, all this is happening. That's not when it's happening. It's happening for multiple years. It's happening at every one of those camps over the summer. It's happening at every visit. It's happening when the coaches go on the road. It's happening when the coaches get no sleep for 2 weeks after the season ends because they're on the road recruiting. So it's all of those things.
In fact, you may have seen some coaches or parts of the recruiting staff, if you're watching on Facebook Live, or some of the pictures that Mark took during the course of this, of being on their cell phones. Well, they weren't talking to the current guys. Many of them were talking to the 25 and 26 guys saying this is going to be your day next year or the year after.
And the thing is, we see that every single year. So people may or may not know, but my daughter Grace is a student at Penn State, and she's an intern photographer for us. And I told her, you have to make sure you get photos of these guys on the phone because that's Steve, you recognize it. But I think a lot of people may look at those photos and think, yeah, these guys, they're talking to their wives, or they're talking to their grandma or whatever. No, they are talking to recruits moving forward. And that's my point. This isn't something that is wrapped up in, a couple of months. I mean, this is years in the making. And I'll dust off a blast from the past. Penn State was kind of on the forefront of this when, you know, in the mid-90s, they got a commitment from Joe Nastasi, I think before his junior year.
Yes.
And, you know, that people just were not doing it. But it was a kid who was thinking, you know, this is where I want to go. And obviously it ended up being just a great thing for Joe. And he became a very productive player at Penn State. And he's been in state college all these years. He was a member of the state high coaching staff. But it goes back that far. Now, I would be lying if I didn't tell you that Franklin and company, James Franklin and company, have taken it to a different level, but only because you have to take it to a different level, because everybody is operating at that pace now, years in advance, not days, not months, years in advance.
Right, and exactly, and that's how it has to be done, which now brings me to this. You are an avid college basketball fan and an avid college basketball watcher. College basketball has had an early signing period now for 2.5 decades, which is usually the second Wednesday of November.
Yes.
And it goes off flawlessly every year, and there's never any problem, which means then the coaches can concentrate on other recruiting, or more particularly on their team in the season. Does college football need to rethink what they're doing with the signing day and maybe have it, let's pick a date, the first week of August?
Yeah, and here I wouldn't say the first. I don't know if it would be the first week of August. I think what they have to do is make life more tenable for these coaches. And I know people are going to say, you know, these guys are making millions of dollars. But, you know, it used to be that you finish the season and these coaches who are human beings who come up for air for a week. And now with the early signing day when it is, so for people who don't know, I mean, the signing day used to be in February, and then the coaches wanted an early signing day, so they moved the early signing day to December 20th, or, you know, right in the area that we're in right now.
Right. Third Wednesday of December is what it is.
Yeah, I knew you could put it better than I could put it. But the problem is that, okay, so that happens, and then you make it so much easier for kids to transfer. And then you limit the transfer portal window until that early December to early January, and now you're cramming the early recruiting period, you're cramming the transfer portal, where these coaches, they have to go out and recruit other transfers, but they also have to recruit their own players. They have to make sure their players are comfortable. And, I mean, we know it's a fact of life now in college football. There's going to be coaching turnover almost every year, as we saw with Penn State. It's not always going to be this drastic, but hey, listen, I think Penn State is the perfect example where if you're very good as a coordinator, you're not going to be around very long. Or if you're struggling as a coordinator, you're not going to be around very long. it's unfortunate, right? It's the way it is. Right. It's like, yeah. So we saw both ends of it. And so my point being, Steve, is that you are cramming so much into such a small window. And the issue for these coaches is that they need people to protect them from themselves, especially a guy like James Franklin. And I say that in a complimentary way, because if he's put in a position where he has to outwork somebody, he is going to outwork them at whatever cost. You know, like we saw at the bowl announcement where, you know, he admitted he didn't look very good because he had been, you know, just grinding and grinding away. And please take that the right way, everybody. I am not saying that as a criticism. I'm saying that when you're in that position, if you are not taking every minute that you can to outwork your opponent, you're not doing your job. And he's going to do that. And you know the staff well enough, Steve, right? These guys are all wired the exact same way. And it's almost as if they need somebody to protect them from themselves. You could be critical. I remember when James Franklin was hired, he said something, and this resonates with me to this day. He joked, there are better looking coaches than me. There are better coaches than me, but no coach is going to outwork me.
Right.
And that's where this all comes into play, is that these guys, to be successful, you have to work. James Franklin gets in there at, what, 6-something a.m., and he's leaving at 10 at night. And his assistants are the same way. They have a daily meeting at 7 a.m. And going back to where we started, I know I'm all over the place here, but, yeah, you need an early signing period. Would August work? Yeah, I think August would work because you're getting ready for the preseason and things aren't being pulled all over the place. But at some point, I think it would be much better because, let's face it, the kids we saw with Penn State this year, these kids, I mean, I think they had one guy, Jalen Harvey, who committed in October. And and everybody knew for a year and a half that he was going to commit to Penn State. I think he just wanted to enjoy the process. So many of these kids just want to get the process over. Just do it in August. I agree. And I know I went a long way there, but I think there's more to it than just moving the date. It's like, you know, these coaches, I think, need to be able to take a deep breath every once in a while.
And that was the point of the question, which you then artfully ran with. Tom Allen had a chance to meet with the media for the first time as the Penn State defensive coordinator. Your impressions?
Well, he had a tough act to follow in Andy Kotelnicki, right? I mean, nobody's going to come out. But no, I mean, I think we all had a better feel for who Tom Allen is and what he's about than Andy Kotelnicki, just because Andy, he was a little bit more under the radar. He wasn't a head coach. He wasn't at high-profile programs. He wasn't in the Big Ten. So I think we know what Tom Allen's all about, and yeah, definitely, nothing but impressed by him. And I would hope that people, as they look at the situation, and I think a lot of people are looking at Indiana's defensive stats the last couple years and seeing where they ranked in the Big Ten. There are a couple things to take into account. Number one, when you're the head coach, that is not necessarily a reflection on you. I mean, it ultimately, everything in the program is a reflection on you, but he wasn't the one calling the defensive plays.
Right.
Number two, and I think this has gone way overlooked, Steve. Take a look at what the transfer portal has done to Indiana football.
Yeah.
And it's not just Michael Penix, right, who was a Heisman finalist. I mean, you go, and I don't have the numbers right here in front of me, but, you know, you see Penn State, and typically Penn State's been losing some kids who are kind of, you know, maybe they would play next year, maybe they wouldn't, you know, maybe they're going to a place where they have a better opportunity and it's a win-win for everybody. Penn State's not losing Heisman winners, you know, or Heisman contenders, you know what I mean? And so Indiana was in a position where it's losing 20-plus players every single year.
Yes.
And if you think that's not going to impact where you are, I mean, do you think it's a coincidence that Indiana went from being competitive, and as soon as the transfer portal really heats up, falls off the edge of the cliff?
Right.
And I think Penix is just a great example. We saw him. I mean, we could argue about whether that was a touchdown or not against Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, in that game, he single-handedly kept Indiana in that game.
And
was just fantastic. So whatever you think about the end of the game, that's fine. But you can't deny the level of player that he is. And when you're losing that level of player on offense, they were losing players not quite that good, but they were losing many of their best defensive players as well. So you have to take all of that with a grain of salt. So bottom line is, you know, I think we all have a pretty good feel for how well James Franklin vets this stuff. And I think we all know that if he feels he makes a mistake, he'll make a change quickly. Mm-hmm. But I think Tom Allen's track record before these last couple of years is too good to just discount him based on a couple of seasons.
Especially when he worked exclusively on that side of the ball before he became the head coach. Indiana had phenomenal defensive stats, and they were tough. Micah McFadden of the Giants will tell you how good this guy is. Next up, Pat Kraft has had a couple of opportunities. What have you learned, if anything, new about that?
You know, I just think James Franklin talks a lot about alignment, and you can just see where they're at. You can see where, and I don't want it to come across the wrong way, but I think realistically speaking, if you want to have a successful athletic department at a place like Penn State, you have to dedicate the proper resources to football. It's just the case. That does not mean you don't dedicate the proper resources to all the other sports. But we know what makes the money, right? We know what's going to generate the revenue. So I think when you have an AD who's willing to pay an Andy Kotelnicki, you know, what it'll cost. Tom Allen's probably a different story because I think he's probably okay financially anyway. I have no idea what he's going to be making, but yeah. I know that he walked away from the Indiana situation in a good spot. But you look at what they're doing with facilities. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at the way they're trying to generate more revenue from the football stadium, which, you know, I don't think Penn State has done a good enough job over the years. You have to have that alignment with your football program and with your leadership if you want everybody to be as successful as possible. I mean, let's face it, it would be great if Penn State had a perennial top 10 basketball team, but it mm-hmm. just hasn't. Now, Penn State basketball makes its share of money, but not at the level that football does. So you have this thing that generates all this money, and you have to dedicate the proper resources to it to be able to compete with everybody else. Now, I think the other side of that, Steve, is James Franklin has been saying this for years. If you've mm-hmm. listened closely, I know you have, but I mean, you know, fans out there and observers, if you've listened closely, James has been talking for years about this alignment with, yeah. you know, the football coaching staff being on the same page with the athletic department, being on the same page with university leadership.
Yeah.
And now he's getting it.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Now the ball is in his court. He's mm-hmm. getting what he needs, what he said he's needed to compete at the highest level. Now you have to be able to beat the Ohio States and Michigan, even though you're not playing Michigan for a while. But you get my point. I mean,
right.
you have the tools that you've been asking for. Now the ball is in James's court. He doesn't have every single tool, but he's getting the stuff that he needs. Now, it's going to be a little bit different with the playoff coming in next year. And you're not going to have to be in the top four to be able to compete for a national title. But we'll see it. I mean, the Big Ten, even if they're not playing Michigan and Ohio State every single year, they're going to be playing good enough teams every single year with the addition of the Pac-12 teams that we're going to know if James is up to the challenge. And I'm anxious to see that because he's been asking for all these things for years. Now he's getting them. Now he has the alignment that he wants. Let's see how he reacts to it.
Exactly. Very quickly, quick synopsis, the matchup with Ole Miss at the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's kind of billing it as this, you know, great offense against this great defense. And I'm not sure that I necessarily quite, you know, see it that way. I mean, I look at Ole Miss and what they did offensively against the two best teams on its schedule, Alabama and Georgia, scoring a total of 27 points. And a team that's took a hit losing its best offensive lineman. So I don't know. You know, my sense is that this is going to be a low-scoring game, mm-hmm. Steve. I know that's kind of antithetical to what we've seen from Penn State in bowl games, where, you know, recently where a lot of them become shootouts. But I just think the strength of this Penn State team is defense. I think even with the coordinator change, I like their defensive coaching staff, and I think they're going to be able to do what they need to do. And then offensively, I think they're going to be in a position where, you know, Ty Howell and Jaywan Sider are going to be comfortable enough running the ball that this isn't yeah. going to be a high-scoring yeah. game. So I'm thinking I'll give you my pick because I've already done it for our TV show. It's Penn State 24, Ole Miss 17. Again, I like Ole Miss. I like Jackson Dart, the quarterback.
Yeah.
The running back's really good. They have good weapons at receiver. But I keep going back to that offensive line. And even without Chop, I really like what I saw from the Penn State defensive line, and I love what Penn State's linebackers are able to do rushing the passer. So I think it's going to be – I don't think it's going to be a great day for that Ole Miss offense. We'll see if I'm wrong.
Yeah, the one tackle is definitely out. The other tackle is still iffy. Hey, Mark, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Grace did another great job. And appreciate everything. Happy holidays to Stacy, Grace, you. Appreciate you very much.
Yeah, to your family as well, Steve. Thank you.
Mark Brennan, 247 Sports. Nate Bauer, next half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Humble Dwarf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's broadcast extravaganza is brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory with great warranties. Starting off 2024 with a new vehicle would be pretty cool. Great pre-owned inventory with the all-important Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a terrific service department that backs it up from the routine to the difficult. They can handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. With that now, we turn our attention to on3.com, Bluette Illustrated, Nate Bauer. Sir, happy holidays. Welcome.
Steve Jones, hello.
Great to catch up with you. It's long time no see.
I mean, over 24 hours, so it feels like a lifetime to me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Recruiting is, everybody understands, Nate covers games, he covers the sport, he covers the team. Recruiting is not his, in his wheelhouse. They have others for that. Sean Fitz does a great job. You know, Ryan Snyder does a great job. But you were at the event, and just from seeing, quote, the event of it, what struck you about it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It is always about James Franklin, and it's funny. It coordinates so well with his message in general about it being more than the player, right? It is such a collaborative sport, and so in every aspect of the program. And look, I think that this is mimicked and duplicated pretty much across the country when it comes to college football. You are talking about an army of people that deliver every single day for the sport to run, right? So right. On the granular level, like starting at the very foundation with the kids, right, the recruits that come into the program, the first thing he talks about is with every single interaction that he has during these Zoom calls, is about the parents, right? It's about the siblings. It's about the trainers. It's about all of the people that help get that player into a position where they have an opportunity to come to Penn State. And really, as you examine the room, if you're standing there, so there's obviously a little bit of media there. There's some donors, and there is again that army of staffers, right? the pats on the back that you see from coach to coach, from assistant to assistant. It's about getting over the line, right? Like getting past the finish line. There is so much work in maintaining and developing relationships that go into getting that commitment, that go into the culmination of that day yesterday, it's about so much more than just the individual player, just the one-off of a huge commitment.
The couple also ranneth over when it came to the ability to talk with everybody. That includes the new defensive coordinator, Tom Allen. Your impressions of him?
Yeah, that's funny. You know, energetic, right? He is a mile a minute guy in terms of words that come out of his mouth. With this is inside baseball joking, but we use a program called Otter, right, to transcribe, to help a journalist transcribe when people talk. So yeah. I think that he will give Stacey Collins a run for his money in terms of actual words spoken per minute that will be even difficult for a digital transcriber to keep up with. But obviously, a kind-hearted, dedicated guy who cares about players, loves the sport of football, loves defense, and again, something that struck me yesterday is listening to people who have been in the chair of a head coach. Yep. And just it is a different profession from being a coordinator, from being an assistant coach, right? And so having had that appreciation, Manny Diaz was in the same spot, right? Having had an appreciation for what it means to operate a program at the level that James Franklin does, sometimes I think it's nice. I think that these guys come out of those situations and can say to themselves, man, it'll be great to coach the linebackers again. And so it points out it's two points of contrast. One, an appreciation from their side into how James Franklin operates the program. I think that Pat Kraft detailing some of the hiring process and watching James work to make hires is a fascinating insight into how he operates. But then also for the coaches themselves, right? Having this opportunity to step back from all of the tentacles that go into being a head football coach, right, at a program of Penn State stature. It's an interesting contrast that they put out there yesterday.
Well, and top of that, he talked about sitting in linebacker meetings and being pulled out because as a head coach, he had 1,000 things to take care of. And now he's going to get to concentrate on one side of the ball, and it's the side of the ball he loves.
Yep. It's always funny to me. I'm interacting with fans, obviously, and this whole conversation, this is a little bit of a tangent here, Steve, but this whole conversation this season talking about Franklin's influence over Penn State's offense. Right. And forget what James Franklin says about it, right? Don't worry about that. They have clearly defined and outlined what the dynamic is over the years. But don't listen to him. Listen to Tom Allen. Right? Listen to Tom Allen talk about your inability. Like, you do not have the opportunity to do that when you're sitting in the head coach's chair. It's just not how it works. Right, you have coordinators that, on the very basic level, own, operate, run their side of the ball, and so for Tom Allen, he gets the opportunity to go back to that, to get back to something that he proved himself to be very good at. I think that he proved himself to be very good as a head coach. Right, there were things about what Indiana did during his tenure there that were impressive,
no doubt.
But certainly how he made his bones, right? How he got to that opportunity in the first place at Indiana was by being a linebackers coach, by being a defensive coordinator. And so it'll be interesting to see him settle back into that role without the distractions of academics and donor relations and NIL, like all of that stuff that comes into play for head coaches. He's not going to have to deal with now.
Exactly. Pat Kraft also had his press conference. What was the primary take from that, in your opinion?
Oh, man. Where to start?
I think
certainly there was an insight into the world of what major college football is right now. I mean, nobody that I've seen, certainly not James Franklin, certainly not Pat Kraft, has gone into the detail or the level that Chip Kelly did in terms of a revised version of what college football should or could look like in the future, but him talking about NIL not be, you know, NIL being the primary funding of player compensation as not being a sustainable model, he leaned into that. He said, no, it can't be, right? You cannot have fans having to pick up the bag on this. It is something that he wishes Penn State, the university, the institution, was able to take a bigger hand in. And certainly, I think that we can all read the tea leaves. We know where this is going. It will get to that point, but right now it's not there. And then on top of that, I mean, I think that certainly his rundown of all of the projects that they have going on right now, I think is very insightful, right? It is there was a Board of Trustees meeting last spring where a bunch of stuff, right, 6-7 projects got approved. And that was including, but not even, like, the Lash building, the second story of the Lash building goes under construction really as we speak. It's being renovated as we speak. Yeah. But that's just one aspect of all of the facilities projects that are taking place across Penn State Athletics right now.
Which is remarkable. If collective bargaining ever comes into play, and I'm only using if just to couch it, how much would that actually benefit Penn State?
Oh, it'd be huge. It'd be the best thing that could happen to Penn State because it is such a robust athletic department. Look, are there ramifications to all of these things? Absolutely, right? There is a backside of this where if the money has to come from somewhere and you're unlikely to see compensation levels and some of the investment levels of basketball and football, if you're unlikely to see those take a step back, right? So if you have to account for the money that then gets diverted to football players and men's basketball players, what have you, there could be an impact, right, on some of the other 29 non-revenue sports, right? There could be an impact there. But if you're just looking at from the standpoint of Penn State fans are being asked to, you know, carry the load of paying for players right now, and it's how do I put this gently? You know, being met with mixed, right? Like a mixed result. You know, there's still a queasiness that I would say exists within the fan base, right? And that's men's basketball and football in terms of their embrace of NIL. You can bypass that when you get to revenue share, right? You don't have to have a full embrace by the fan base. NIL will still be necessary. There will still be, like, the actual meaning of NIL, of wanting players to have opportunities to benefit and to make some extra money based on their notoriety, their position as a football player. Yeah, yep. Those things are great, but that's not the funding mechanism that it should be. And I think that we all know that. It's just a matter of the sport getting there.
Agreed. It's always fun to actually cover the games. There's a game coming up. It's sold out, by the way. What's your general impression of the matchup Penn State Ole Miss Peach Bowl?
Yeah, I think that I ran some numbers after Penn State lost in Michigan, right, in November, and was trying to find relevant comps for teams that had to face two juggernauts during the season.
Right.
And there was one. There was one that aligned.
Ole Miss.
In terms of having – and it was Ole Miss.
Yeah.
It was Ole Miss, right? Ole Miss had to play – Ole Miss was the only team in the SEC of that stature, right? I didn't go through all of the teams that had lost to both, right, and having to check out everything. But they were the one team that had a bunch of wins that weren't Georgia and Alabama.
Right.
Right? Like, those were the two games that they couldn't get through. Penn State obviously had Ohio State and Michigan. And so you're both programs, I feel like, are left with this opportunity and this excitement for confirming and affirming to themselves that they are what they thought they were, which is a good team, right? Ole Miss does great things offensively. It is going to be a fascinating and interesting matchup to see how this excellent Penn State defense fares against that offense. But overall, like from the broader perspective, I just see this as, for both programs, an opportunity. In Ole Miss's case, to do something that am I remembering this correctly? They haven't had an 11-win season in their history.
They have not.
Right? So that's a big deal. Meanwhile, Penn State and James Franklin are looking for their fifth 11-win season in the last eight?
Fifth, yes. Right? And it draws with it complaints.
Yeah. So it'll be an interesting matchup. Well, I think that there are still some things to shake themselves out, right, in terms of personnel and roster availability for both teams, right? There's been some murmurs, I would say, on Ole Miss's side about who's going to be available for them. And certainly Penn State, there are still some questions to be answered in terms of which players will play for them. Yeah. But on the whole, I do think it's going to be a fascinating matchup.
All right, college basketball. Penn State, of course, had its game with Georgia Tech in the Garden. We know how it ended, and as I said on the broadcast, I said normally it's, in my experience, a prerequisite to a foul is you have to be touched. College basketball, that's what I said. And college basketball, for whatever reason, in my experience, has always played from behind. They're 6 years behind the NBA with the three-point shot. They finally got a shot clock, but it was 45. Then they finally, after years and years, rolled it to 30. Right? The charge rule. I can go through a long list of things where college basketball is so far behind, flopping, where they're so far behind the NBA. The NBA has a challenge system. Right? You get one. Okay. You can use it at 18 minutes or at 18 seconds. That's up to you. Is this something college basketball needs to have?
Yes. Having witnessed, I'm always curious to know how many people are paying attention game in and game out, right? How many fans of college basketball are just casual fans? They see some games, right? But you and I are watching every single Penn State basketball game, every single one, against the dregs of society and against the powerhouses, you name it, we're watching every single game. It is not a limited sample size over the last 10, 15 years of remarkably bad officiating, clock operation, right? You name it. There are just so many things.
I have 42 years of this. Okay, please continue.
There you go. I'm at a meager 19.
Right.
I'm trying to catch up. But it's consistent, and it just seems like it's funny that you mentioned it. I just saw a tweet, regarding some of these bowl games are now going to put tablets and headsets in the helmets, right?
Yes.
And the point of the tweet was, hey, this is something that came to the NFL 30 years ago,
right?
In terms of headset communication. So college athletics it has to stop treating itself as though it is an after school activity. It deserves better than that. The participants deserve better than that. There is such an investment made. Forget the money. The money is a huge part of it for sure. But these guys work tirelessly. It is ceaseless how they approach these games, and so their lives are dictated by wins and losses, outcomes, these kind of things. You owe it to them. You owe it to them to do better than that. And that's where it just feels to me as though you got to have whatever the mechanism is, whether it's the NCAA, whether it's commissioners, whether it's head coaches demanding it. I don't know, but there have to be responsible adults in the room that can say, look, these things need to fast forward. You got to catch up because it is a game that is taken very seriously and deserves that level of attention.
All right. And I don't need it tied to a timeout. To a timeout. To me, if you're out of timeouts and you want a challenge and you have it left, you should. And if you don't win the challenge, it's two shots plus the ball, right? So you know you suffer a penalty in that regard as opposed to a timeout. I have no problem, but I just want to see them get it right. Oh, and by the way, announce it to the crowd. Don't leave it up to poor Jeff Brown to do it. I mean, come on.
Yep. No, I understand how this will come across, so I'm going to use my words lightly here, but I feel bad for Tommy Morrissey, right? Like, I feel bad for officials that are in that situation that think that they're making the right call. Like, provide an outlet for them. Give yourself a backstop where you can say, okay, there's a net underneath us so that if a mistake is made, we can correct it. We can look at – there are mechanisms there to be able to get these things right, because I don't understand any sentiment from anywhere, right? Coaches, ADs, referees, what have you, players certainly, who would think, yeah, you know what, this destroys the integrity of the game by not having it available to them.
Happy holidays to you. I hope the holidays bring with it a brand new driver.
Oh man, I have a confession to make, Steve.
Yeah,
I've got to do some Christmas shopping. I'm a little behind.
Well, then I won't delay you any further, my friend.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. You're the best. Appreciate you.
All right, thanks.
Nate Bauer on 3.com. Blue White Illustrated. We'll come back more in a moment. You know what we're going to do? We have a little fun next half hour. I know we've got the King coming up at 2:35. And we'll do our picks. But next half hour, let's have a little fun. Ask Steve anything. Okay, ask Steve anything. Well, phone lines are open. I don't care if it's a personal question. I don't care if it's a professional question. Whatever's on your mind on what would have been Joe's 97th birthday today. All right, so ask Steve anything. All right, so we'll just find out, whatever's on your mind. That's what we'll do next.